Be careful about believing bad news about others. It's amazing how quick we are sometimes to believe when somebody tells us bad news or bad attitudes or bad behavior or whatever comes to our ears. You know, there's just part of our flesh that's like, oh, I knew something wasn't right. I knew that fella, he didn't look quite right. You know, there's just something, and there's a perverted almost joy at the struggle and the bad news of somebody else.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today in the studio, we have one of David's associate pastors, D.A. Brown. Welcome, brother.
Hey, Bob, I want to take a minute to pray for some of our stations and cities in the listening audience. Pray with me if you don't mind. Sitka, Alaska, Black Canyon City, Bullhead City, Camp Verde, Clifton, Globe and Phoenix, Groom Creek, and Prescott, Arizona. God, we thank you for these cities. We pray that many people would tune in and listen to your word today. God, if there are some dealing with sickness in the area, we pray that you would please heal them. God, we pray that some would put their trust in you today and receive your gift of salvation. God, we pray for revival in these cities, that people would be stirred up to follow you and to return to your word. And Lord, we pray for the churches and the pastors in the area. We pray that you give the pastors wisdom and discernment, and that the congregations would just explode with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother. We appreciate you praying for these folks. And folks, as you are listening, please pray along with Pastor D.A. for your brothers and sisters in your area and for these various cities around the country. Pastor D.A., tell us a little bit about the teaching today.
Pastor Dave is reminding us today, Bob, to not throw stones at others. It's so important that we don't make a prejudgment about what's going on in someone else's life, and instead we love them through what God is doing.
Oh, that's awesome, brother. Well, let's listen as Pastor David continues teaching, finishing up 2 Samuel chapter 16.
Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 16. We're continuing our verse-by-verse study. Let's jump in. Verse 1. When David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddled donkeys and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. And the king said to Ziba, "What do you mean to do with these?" And so Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink." And then the king said, "And where is your master's son?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" Verse 4, so the king said to Ziba, "Here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." And Ziba said, "I humbly bow before you, that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king." Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came. In verse 6, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man. Then Abishai, the son of Zariah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head." He's making the accusation that David unfairly, unjustly came to the kingship, and that is not accurate. Has David made mistakes? Absolutely. Every leader, every spiritual leader that has ever lived has made mistakes, except Jesus. And I think sometimes our expectations, while it's great to encourage one another and have high expectations, Book of Proverbs says that a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he gets back up. So this man is making the accusation. There's maybe some content to it, and he's throwing rocks at David. Do you realize every leader that's in your life, there's always something you can say about him? Something bad, something negative. Whether it's the president or your boss, or the governor, or your pastor, or whoever, there's always something you can find to say that's bad, that's negative. And usually you don't have to dig too hard to find it. That's not the test. The test is, Can you see the weaknesses or the failures of a leader or of a friend and still be with them? This man couldn't, and he starts throwing rocks. It's interesting. John chapter 8, the religious leaders throw a woman in the midst of Jesus and says, we caught her in the very act of adultery. It's a very interesting story. You know, you wonder. There's a couple things. Number one, they caught her in the act of, they bring the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Why didn't they bring the man who was caught in the same act? My guess is he was a religious leader. But Jesus says, you know what? He that is without sin, cast the first stone. Wow. What a great statement. Let me ask you a question. Who on that day could have thrown a stone at that woman? One person. And he wouldn't do it. He wasn't going to do it. See, there's no, you know, when it lists the gifts and the ministries in the New Testament, stone throwing, not one of them. If you think that's your ministry, that's not your ministry. Or if it is your ministry, it's not from God. Because we're told that the enemy is the accuser of people, of brothers and sisters. Next life lesson, don't throw stones at others. Don't throw stones at others. This man is throwing stones at one of the greatest men that ever lived. Did he have a little bit of an issue? Yeah, he did. But he had no business throwing a stone, these stones at David. And yet he still did it. Don't enter into a stone throwing ministry. You know, what? I've done this. I've thrown some stones from this platform. I'm trying to do better. Now, sometimes in teaching, I have to point out this is flaky or that's weird. May the Lord help me to do that with a pure heart and not a stone throwing way. Verse 10, but the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all his servants, see how my son who came from my own body seeks my life? How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. And David's like, God will take care of this. And what is this guy? This is just some stranger that's throwing rocks at me. My own son is trying to take over the throne. You know, friends and family, just the wounds go deeper, don't they, than those of strangers. Verse 12, it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. So David is like, I'm going to let God deal with it. I can trust God to deal with it. Do you understand you're going to get stones thrown at you too? That's part of following Jesus. If you never get stones thrown at you, something's wrong. That's part of following Jesus. At times I've been a little surprised at where the stones came from in ministry, but never that the stones are flying. That's just part of what happens. And if you put energy and effort towards those who are throwing stones at you, friend, you'll never have energy and effort enough to minister to do what God has called you to do. If I tried to answer every accusation or gossip or whatever, I'd have nothing to say when I got up here to teach because I would be so busy dealing with the stone throwers. That's just going to happen. Now, part of what David is saying here is, I've earned some of this. There was a recognition in David at this point. I did some wrong things. It's almost like he's saying, I'm not dead. God didn't strike me dead. So his mercy came into play. Now, he could have at this point said, I can't believe Absalom. I can't believe he's trying to take my throne. I can't believe this guy throwing rocks at me. That's not what he did. He said, I'm guilty of this and worse. This punishment's nothing. And there's a beautiful thing that David is doing, and we need to remember this in every relationship, because in every relationship that we have done something wrong in that relationship. There is no relationship that you've ever had that you're perfect in. None. God's fixing us, but we're broken. And so often we're so willing to point out what's wrong with the other person, and time after time in counseling and stuff, people want to talk about how messed up their spouse was or how messed up their friend is. But the beautiful thing and the healing starts when the person says, I know I did some wrong things in this. I know I messed up. Are you willing to ask yourself the hard questions when these situations come up? David was. Now the reality, Shimei, David's not going to kill him. But he's going to end up to be killed. David gave him grace. Shimei didn't really take the grace. He continued on with his messed up self. Found other people to throw stones at. Verse 14, now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there. Now this is cool because David has been, if you can imagine the kind of day or the kind of week or the kind of weeks he's having. I mean, first thing, somebody probably came to him and said, David, Absalom, he's in the city gates, and, you know, he's saying if he was king, he would do it like this or do it like that. And what do you want us to do? You know, Abishai said, you want me to take his head off? You know, and David said, no. And probably when Absalom came to David and said, can I go to Hebron and make sacrifices? David knew. David was a smart guy. He was a wise man. And when he came, David probably looked at him and knew full well what was about to happen. He said, okay, I've been waiting to see what's in your heart. I guess you're showing me what's in your heart now. Go to Hebron. And then he's making these moves now. David leaves Jerusalem. Hears that somebody he's given great grace to is now speaking against him. David needed a break. God gave him a break. God will give you breaks. God will give you seasons of rest and seasons of refreshing. But friend, a lot of times when we're in the midst of the battle and we desire a season of refreshing or a rest, it's not the time for refreshing or rest. Allow God to bring those seasons to you. It's interesting, in traveling, you know, a lot of times the schedule stayed pretty full. Some weeks when I was traveling, there'd be like four or five different services. So sometimes, you know, like 8-hour drive between. So it was a busy time. But every now and again, there'd be a little pocket out in the Midwest or something that wouldn't fill. And, you know, and I'd think, oh, man, I wish we'd get something there. But after time, you know what I discovered? That would be the week that I got ill or couldn't do something. Or, you know, God always knew when I needed that season of rest and refreshing. And friend, he'll always know when you need it. And sometimes you might feel stretched like you're getting ready to pop. But God knows how far you can be stretched before you pop. He's not interested in taking you to a point that you can't handle. But friend, he will take you right up to it. And David is right up to it. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says this, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's where times of refreshing really come from, presence of the Lord. When you're getting all out of sorts and stuff is crashing down on you, that's the time you need to be in the presence of the Lord most of all. Because as you do that, God will refresh you. He'll remind you of his love for you. So I believe we need to serve God with all the passion and the energy that we can muster, and then watch as God will bring these seasons to us. And when he does, take the break. Take the break.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there, too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Why is God putting David through this? Is it just because he did some wrong things? It's not just because he did some wrong things. David is becoming more like Jesus. He's becoming more like Jesus. And all that's going on, every step, he's becoming more like Jesus. We talked last week, he crossed the Kidron in his time of betrayal. Jesus crossed the Kidron in the time of betrayal. David stood on the Mount of Olives and wept over Jerusalem. Jesus stood on the Mount of Olives and wept over Jerusalem. Jesus was betrayed by a friend. David was betrayed by a friend. Judas betrayed Jesus. Ahithophel betrayed David. And both David and Jesus were willing to walk away from their kingdoms. As we see David walking out and leaving Jerusalem, you look at that and you go, how could a king just walk out of the city he's ruling over? That's a great question. It's a difficult question. But an even deeper question is, how could Jesus leave heaven and come here? We can't even understand the question until we get to heaven. Not only did he come here, but he came here in such grace and humility and mercy. I mean, think of the way he came in. He chose to come in this world through a young woman who wasn't yet married. He chose that way. That right there just blows my mind. Because I sit and I think, you know, what if I was the Son of God and I was planning this entrance into heaven? What would that look like? It wouldn't look like that, friend. You know, I think I would come in with ball of flame right on the Temple Mount into Jerusalem, you know, and all the angels would be singing. It's not how he came in. He came in, and the huge audience that was really glad he came, some shepherds out in the field. Shepherds were kind of the roughnecks. They weren't the cultured or educated. I mean, they were the rough and rowdy crowd. Jesus was willing to leave all that. Why? Because of you. Because of you. That's why he came. If you want to do some outside reading, at this point is when David wrote Psalm chapter 3 and 63. And you can read them outside. We're not going to read them tonight, but you can read them outside and you can kind of see what he's going through. Psalm 3 and Psalm 63. Verse 15, meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. So they've hooked up now. Verse 16, and so it was when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. Now remember, Hushai was David's counselor and David's friend, and he followed David out, and David said, you know what, go back. And you know, if you hear something, you can send word. And David, there's also, you know what, if God doesn't want me to be king, I don't want to be king. Man, can you look at your life, and if God doesn't want you to have that promotion, are you willing to say, you know what, God, if you don't want me to have that promotion, I don't want it. If you don't want me to have that new job, I don't want it. If you don't want me to have that pay raise, I don't want it. God, if you don't want me in this position of ministry, I don't want it. David was willing to do that. And so Hushai goes back and notice his words. This guy's, you can tell he's really smart, because look at his words. Long live the king, long live the king. Verse 17, so Absalom said to Hushai, is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend? Notice he calls David Hushai's friend. Didn't say, why did you not go with my father? Why did you not go with my king? Sad. And verse 18, and Hushai said to Absalom, no, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so will I be in your presence. This guy's really sharp. Because nothing that he just said is a lie. But he did not betray David in what he just said. He says, long live the king. He didn't say which king. He was saying, long live David the king, but he didn't mention David's name. And then he says, I will serve in your presence. He didn't say, I'll serve you. He said, I'll serve in your presence. David's got good leadership, huh? Because as we look at this guy, it's a very well-worded statement. I want who God wants. And that's, you know, that's a great way to run a church, operate a church. I want who God wants in positions around here. Verse 19. Or 20. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give advice as to what we should do. Ahithophel, again, really smart guy. And you see, again, David had really smart men, smart leadership. Ahithophel, Bathsheba's grandfather, went over to help Absalom in this rebellion. Verse 21. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong. Whoever controlled the king's concubines controlled the kingdom. And a lot of times when a king who had won a battle, who was taking over the power, one of the first things he would do is go in and lay with the concubines or be with the ladies in the harem, saying, you know what, I'm in control now. And in this, Ahithophel's counsel it's extremely wise, and yet it's bad advice. It's wise because the thing that these people who are wanting to follow Absalom, the fear, the foremost fear in their heart is that if I follow him and him and David end up reconciling, I'm going to be labeled as a traitor. And so in this move, Ahithophel says, you know what? If you do this, everybody will understand that you and David are eternally separated, that there will be no reconciling. Smart, but wrong. Verse 22, so they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house. And Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Everybody knew. Everybody saw. And let's remember the words of Nathan in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 11. Says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. The things that Nathan said are coming to pass. And again, it's obviously wrong. And yet, Ahithophel is extremely wise, a brilliant strategy. Sometimes you might get really great advice, a lot of wisdom in it, but it might not be the Lord. It might not be godly counsel. It might be great counsel, but it might not be godly counsel. Always be careful. That's why, if you're in a position of somebody speaking into your life, try the best that you can to make sure that person's a believer. Whether that's counselor or a lawyer or accountant or anything like that, because they might have great advice that's ungodly, and you have to draw the line there. Ahithophel's giving great advice, but again, it's ungodly. And verse 23, now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was if one had inquired at the oracle of God, so was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Ahithophel, his counsel was like the oracles of God. It was like he was brilliant, and he's on the other side. And Ahithophel is not seeking the will of the Lord. Ahithophel's seeking revenge. He's got an axe to grind, if you will. Be careful about taking advice from people who have an axe to grind. You know, as we look at this, there's a few things I think we can take from this. First of all, let me ask you a question. Have you ever met anybody that's perfect? Only one. Jesus. You're not perfect. You're not. I'm not perfect. So what happens to us when all of a sudden we come face to face with the flaws of friends and family and people we care about? What do? We turn, do we run? Do we do like this guy, and when we see that they're hurting and they're falling, do we pick up rocks, start throwing at them? Is that what Jesus did? That's what we do sometimes. That's what I've done. That's what you've done. We've seen people at a weak moment. Maybe they surprised us. Maybe they hurt us. Maybe we just didn't think they would do such a thing, and we pick up the rocks, start throwing them. More than one problem with that. The one that Jesus points out is, you know what? You got no business throwing stones. Because let's remember, Jesus is the only one that can really throw a stone, and he's decided not to. Oh, there's so many things that you've done that are worthy of being, according to the Hebrew Scriptures, stoned to death. It talks about anybody who rebels against their parents is worthy of execution by stoning. I think it's safe to say that all of us have done that. So if we can't offer each other a stoning and throwing rocks at one another, what can we offer each other? I don't know, what have we been given? We've been given grace. What can we give each other? We give each other grace. A hand up, kind word in a difficult time, prayers in a difficult season. Shimei was willing to kick David when he was down. Do you want to be a Shimei? Or do you want to be one of those mighty men or mighty women that followed David, even though he made mistakes, but stood by him, even through it all? You know, as you look through this chapter, you just see these personalities just emerging. Or do you want to be an Absalom who was so on a power quest, he was willing to hurt anybody and everybody? Or Ahithophel, who takes on such bitterness and unforgiveness, he'll never again in his life know real peace. Never again. So we have all these choices, and all these people that we could be like. Who do we end up being like? Well, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I don't see anybody else that I want to be like as much as I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like Mike. Remember that little thing, be like Mike? I don't want to be like Mike Jordan. I mean, he's great, a gifted ball player and all that, but I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. And when I can throw stones, I don't. And when somebody messes up, I'm still there for him. Because friend, as people look on to that, they're going to see something in that that the world doesn't have to offer. And even in this, you see the grace of God. And David's going through a hard time. And hopefully nobody's looking at this story and going, well, David's just getting what he deserved. Actually, he's not getting all that he deserved. God's given him a great measure of grace. And again, I don't think any of us want what we deserve. We want grace and we want mercy. But it's amazing, because David made some really serious mistakes and errors in judgment. He's definitely reaping some, but he's still king. God didn't remove the kingship from him. And while Ahithophel's counsel to Absalom was really wise, that it would forever separate Absalom and David, do you realize that to the very end, David was willing to reconcile with Absalom? Here's the astounding thing, friend. There is nothing that you can do. Please hear me out. Some of you are going to struggle with a statement. There is nothing that you can do once you come to Jesus that would eternally separate you from him forever. Because no matter what you do, you can always come back and say, Jesus, I messed up again. Please forgive me.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me, that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead, that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's home church, The Bridge, in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com.
That sounds good, Pastor D.A., and again, it's been great to have you with us on the program today. But tell us, what else can our listeners find on crossthebridge.com?
Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Those are terrific, and it's easy and it's free. So folks, sign up today at crossthebridge.com. And thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.